Romans, I'm going to read Romans 14, 1 through 15, 7. Be reading out of the King James. Romans starting in chapter 14 and verse 1. So you can just follow along, listen, whatever you choose. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not. And let not him which eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. Who art thou that judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live to the Lord. And whether we die to the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Do not destroy him with your meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. And he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let everyone please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it very much, very much. We had some students from Word of Life Bible Institute. We classically and lovingly called them Wolbe students. Word of Life Bible Institute from the Adirondacks. And So we would train them in open-air evangelism. And so they would come for 3 weeks in the fall, 3 weeks in the spring. So we took them to our services. And I took this one group of them to our service at our chapel in New Jersey, Woodside, actually. And it's really interesting. I'm sitting behind a number of ladies from Word of Life Bible Institute, sitting behind them, and the breaking of bread was taking place, giving thanks for the wine, right? And then they were passing, they had four cups, and they passed the cups, and this one girl takes it like this, and okay, so she was like this, and all of a sudden she goes, she had this like tension, and she just passed it like this. And I'm going, oh, something's up. And afterwards, after the breaking of bread, after breaking of bread, outside, she was surrounded by a whole bunch of Word of Life girls, and she was sobbing, and they were trying to console her. And I'm responsible for these folks. They had chaperones, yes, but I'm like, what is going on? I have never in my life have ever had wine to my lips. I took a vow that I would never have wine to my lips, and I broke that vow. And she just was inconsolable. And I thought to myself, okay, all right, how do you handle something like that? You know, what do you do? And I tried to minister to her, etc. But this is the title of my sermon is Other Christians and Gray Areas. Other Christians and Gray Areas. And the text is what Bill read. I mean, we're not going to Leviticus today. And so Romans chapter 14 through 5, verse 7, or 15, verse 7. And Paul presents to us four principles in dealing with other Christians and gray areas. And what are these areas? Chapter 14, 1 through 4. When it comes to convictions, respect them. 5 through 12, when it comes to allowances, make them. In 13 through 23, when it comes to attitudes, check them. And when it comes in chapter 15, 1 through 7, when it comes to others, love them. Okay, so when it comes to convictions, respect them. And notice what he says here, and it's respect the convictions of others. Do not criticize them. This is not the issue of a moral nature, though some of these issues in people's thinking are moral in terms of they holding it so strongly. Respect the convictions of others, don't criticize them. Somebody, and this is exactly what we have here in verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations or arguments. This is on issues that are gray in their nature. That is to say, it's not like, this is not talking about you never exercise church discipline. It's not talking about that. It's what it is, if a person embezzles money, there needs to be, you know, forgiveness and also repentance needs to be forthcoming, and there needs to be some kind of discipline in the church, etc., in the assembly. But this is not talking about those issues. It's talking about, you know, I like the red hymn book rather than the black hymn book. Do I like and on? I hold to that. I mean, that's the way it is, and there's no getting around that. I mean, we just That's it, you know. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations, okay? And so when you have somebody having a conviction, don't criticize their conviction. You creepo, that you're so stupid, and that is really a dumb thing. You know, wait a second. Think that one through. When it comes to convictions, respect them, and respect them. Don't criticize them in this. And then verse 2, it says, respect the convictions of others. Don't despise them. This can happen. And notice verse 2, for the one believes that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Herbs. poor Herb. Okay. And so, you know, you look at me and I know you're going crazy inside. Okay, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. So don't you dare, why I oughta. Okay. And let not him that eateth not judge him that eats. If you're meat eaters, and yes, Murphy. I'm not going to tell you what his four food groups are. Okay. Salt, grease, fat, sugar. Okay. Let not him that eateth not judge him that eats, for God receiveth him. Okay, so this is for conviction's sake. So when you look at this and you say, well, it's bad to eat meat. It's really bad to eat meat. Or the reverse of that is, and I get this all the time, got it last week when we were down in Indianapolis, you know, and when the person looks at me and just goes, right in the middle, they're eating little hot dogs, little pierogies or whatever those things are. I was telling them, why are you a vegan? Because I'm not a murderer. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I didn't. I really didn't. I don't even believe that, you know. Track them and whack them, I say. It's fine with me. It's fine with me. I'm doing it for health reasons. But some people are not. You know, some people are not. And I explained it Friday when we had the fellowship dinner. And they asked me again, why are you doing this? And they're eating chicken and all this ravioli with meat in it and all this kind of, well, why are you, you know? And I say, well, I'm not a vegan because of philosophical issues. I'm not doing that. You know, the abuse of animals and killing them and all that kind of stuff. I'm not that at all. But so when a person that would hold to like a vegan philosophy would look at a Christian that would do that, look at a meat eater, they could despise them. They could truly despise them. And the reverse could be the truth too. So when it comes to convictions of others, don't criticize them and don't despise them. Let him that eateth despise he that eateth not, and let not him who eats not judge him who that eateth, for God hath received him. Okay, so it's just like what the Lord Jesus had to say. The Lord Jesus said, it's not what goes in, right? It's not. It's what comes out of the heart that is the issue. And so those of you who are contemplating being vegans, okay, do it for the right reasons, you know, and hopefully you will not be despised. But respect the convictions of others. Don't criticize them. Don't despise them. And then number 4, in verse 4, do not respect the convictions of others. Don't judge them. Don't judge them. Oh, that person. Bad Christian. Chris, bad Christian. Why? Because he doesn't eat meat, you know. And I can't tell you how many times people think, you know, oh, you have a cold. steak will help that. I got a friend of mine, it's Steve Padgett, you know, he'll buy me a 75-ounce steak anytime, you know. Don't judge them. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. Okay, so don't judge another person's servant. Don't do that. If a person has a conviction about something, don't judge them. I mean, on things that are gray in their area. Don't do that. Don't do that. Charles Haddon Spurgeon one used to, you're not going to believe this, true story. Charles Haddon Spurgeon used to smoke stogies, you know, a small cigar, you know, not even filtered. He used to smoke stogies, and he would be, I mean, this is the great prince of preachers, you know. Charles Haddon Spurgeon used to smoke stogies, and one of his friends, Joseph Parker, another great preacher in England, used to wear these broad brim hats, and so he'd come up to Spurgeon and say, Mr. Spurgeon, you shouldn't be smoking. And Spurgeon would counter him, going, Mr. Parker, you should not ever wear that broad brim hat. You know, so these are. I mean, it's really weird. We Christians, especially true in America, have to really be careful with what we consider Christianity or Christian living. Because in Europe, it's a whole different ballgame. It is a whole different ballgame. And Mike McDuffie was telling me about how, you know, people talk, or in a different language, of course, but in terms of what they consider foul language or what somebody would consider wrong drinking or eating, this kind of thing. So when it comes to convictions, respect them. Respect that individual. By the way, the weaker brother is the legalist. The weaker brother is the person, and this is we're going to see this throughout this chapter and verse 1 through 7 of 15. We will see that the weaker brother is the person that can't, that is like real legalistic on things. They're not strong. They're weaker. And it is amazing how people are like this. And you know, and so not only does Paul present the principle when it comes to convictions that we're to respect them, but when it comes to allowances, make them. Make allowances for people. Notice verse 5 and following. We see verses 5 through 9. Make allowances. We are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. And it says that one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it to the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. None of us live to himself. No man dieth to himself. Whether we live, we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. So the thing about it is that we're the Lord's. We are the Lord's property. I love that. And we can talk about when a person becomes a Christian, it's nothing they've done that is giving them, eternal life. They simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we live a life of faith. This principle is ingrained in this chapter, 14 and 15:7. So it's ingrained in this in terms of faith. And then he's going to tell us that whatever is not of faith is sin. So a person who holds to a particular position or a particular way of doing something, you know, I might hold, and I had this happen to me. I actually had this happen to me. I'm a former Roman Catholic, and we had to esteem one day over another. We had to do it. Holy days of obligation. If you didn't go to Mass, you went to hell. If you died, that is exactly what they taught. If you, a holy day of obligation, you go to Mass. You don't go to Mass, it's, you know, you have to go to Mass. You're done if you die. That's a mortal sin. So I started to esteem one day over another, unsaved. I wasn't even born again, right? And I remember a guy challenging me, a Catholic charismatic brother in Christ, challenging me because it was a holy day of obligation and I didn't go to Mass, and he got incensed on me. He got so mad at me, it was unbelievable, because I didn't esteem that particular day. I did not esteem that particular day, and he did. Well, I'm not to judge him if he holds to a particular day, and he's not to judge me. I count every day. So some people say, on Sunday, you're not allowed to. And you know, you're not allowed to. It's the Lord's day. It's the Sabbath. You know, actually, Saturday is the Sabbath, right? But, you know, I mean, we don't want to get into particulars with that, right, when you're talking to somebody. But the thing about it is, it's the Lord's Day. And I've had friends of mine that were not allowed to do anything except sit and not even watch TV. They had to sit and contemplate. I don't know. And this was in assemblies in New Jersey. I remember people doing this or thinking about this. You know, it's the Lord's Day. You shouldn't be doing anything, you know. And that's where the blue laws came in New Jersey, where the stores were not open, so Christians couldn't go shopping, and because it's the Lord's Day type of thing. Well, I don't hold to that. Every day is the Lord's Day, and it comes from a conviction from the Word for sure, and it also comes from a conviction of what my former life in terms of holding to Sunday, and if you don't go to Sunday, you're done and cooked, type of thing. You know, we are the Lord's people. If we receive Christ as our personal Savior, I am a child of God, and so are you. And this is what we need to do. If somebody holds to this particular thing in a gray area, we are to make allowances for that. We're to love them, you know, and that is exactly what it is. We are the Lord's. In fact, we'll get to the loving others when it comes to others, love them. But this is it. And also, by faith, we hold to these things. So if a person holds to a particular day and they hold it as unto the Lord, they're doing it by faith. And that's what pleases the Lord. And if I don't hold to that and I'm doing it by faith, that's what pleases the Lord. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He is rewarded to them that diligently seek Him. So it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith on this. So we are the Lord's. I am the Lord's property. How can I, in these doubtful disputations, in these gray areas, and my other brothers and sisters, how can I go at them? They have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I cannot, you know, I can't do it after this. I can't do it. I can't, after reading this, how can I do it? And do it wisely and godly. Can't do it. So make allowances. We are the Lord's. And then also make allowances. We are judged of the Lord. Look at verses 10 through 11. But why do you judge your brother? Or why dost thou set at naught your brother? No way. You know, if you don't hold to this particular day, we're going to have to set you aside. And that's really a church discipline issue. That's what they're doing. That they're disciplining in the church and putting them over here and over to the side. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So if a person doesn't hold to the same position you do, understand that they will stand before God for what they do. I will stand before God for what I do at the judgment seat of Christ. By the way, this is beautiful, this judgment seat of Christ. Beautiful, right? It's beautiful in the sense that this is not for salvation. This is, I'm going to stand before God and give an account of how I live my life. And this is how we are to live our life with each other, understanding that not only did Jesus pay the penalty for my own sin and that I received him as my Savior after he rose again from the dead and I trust him as my Savior, now I want to live in light of the idea of yielding my life to him, following the Word of God, and also following the Spirit that the Word of God, the Spirit of God teaching me the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit leading me and guiding me, because I will stand and so will you before the Lord on this. I will stand before the Lord. How I treat my other brothers and sisters, how I treat them is going to be judged at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ. We have other passages, 1 Corinthians 3, and then 2 Corinthians 5, regarding the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul says this regarding that in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And it's not the terror of God on the lost that is the issue. It is the terror, and he felt it this way, that he would stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ and be called up short. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to be called up short for sure. So we look at this and we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ for sure. And then notice verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. And that's the famous passage in Isaiah 45 and also Philippians chapter 2. We will stand and we will bow the knee. We will bow the knee to him. So then he tells us this. He says, we are accountable to the Lord. We are accountable to the Lord. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Interesting. You know, some people are just plain busybodies. You know, they just really are. They just, oh, look at that. Oh, I can't believe you're doing that. Oh, my word, is it? Oh, no, look over there. You're doing, oh, that's terrible. You shouldn't be, oh, my word, you're wearing pants again. Oh, my, this is unbelievable. Oh, you should have a darker head covering, and it should never be lace. Et cetera, going on and on. And they're not living it themselves. And they're not living the life. They're going around checking everybody and making sure everybody's cool, and they're not doing it themselves. And they're not living the life that they should. Paul is saying, we are going to give an account. We personally are going to give an account to God. And we have to understand that. So we should live this. We should live. We are accountable to the Lord. So when it comes to convictions, respect them. When it comes to allowances, make them. And then in chapter 14, verses 13 through 23, when it comes to attitudes, this is almost the heart of it. Check your attitude. verses 13 through 15. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded that by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Uh-oh. So the meat that I don't eat, it's okay for you to eat it. It's not unclean. It is not. Peter got this at on the top of Simon the Tanner's roof, you know. What I call clean, don't you ever call unclean. You know, this good Jew that is not going to touch anything that is unclean. Okay, so now Paul is saying that there's nothing unclean unto itself. But to him, I know that I am persuaded that the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean in itself, but to him that esteems anything unclean, to him it is unclean. Why? Why? And so you look at this and you say, well, you know, what is that? Why is that? But if thy brother be grieved with thy food, now walkest thou not in love. Destroy not him with thy food for whom Christ died. So if I see you eating a hamburger and you're sitting there and you know that I have a conviction against eating meat, you know, I'm not to glare at you while you're eating the meat. And if you know that it is a real problem for me spiritually to see somebody eating meat, don't pull up a chair with a Big Mac in front of me and go, how you doing? That is so good. I love the pickles, vegan. You know, I love that, you know. So don't do that. But why? Because you're causing somebody to stumble. Paul Little, a long time ago, wrote in a book, I forget which book he wrote this in, but he was talking about being kind, and he was talking to a friend of his. And I don't know why Paul Little loved this team, but he did. He loved the Philadelphia Phillies and baseball team. And he loved the Phillies, and he and his friend were talking about how they had tickets, they're going to a Phillies game, and they're getting excited, you know. Paul Little, the great evangelist, worked for InterVarsity, etc. And so he's talking away, and there's this guy standing over to the side, seething. He's seething. And he overhears the conversation, and he is like, these two guys are almost like from the pit. You know, they are so wrong in doing this, it's unbelievable. And Paul Little sees them, and they start up a conversation. And the guy says, this is so wrong for you to go to a baseball game. It's not of God for you to go to a baseball game. It's really from the pit. It's not of God. And so what Paul did, and Paul and his friend did, they did something really fantastic. Paul just took the tickets and he went to another friend and said, here, have some tickets. And gave them away and came back and started talking to the guy about why he felt that way. Because he was so obsessed with baseball before he got saved. This guy knew every embedded on it and all these things that, he was so obsessed with baseball. And when he got saved, it became anathema to him. And he thought to himself, nobody should ever be a baseball fan type of situation. Now, I thought to myself, you know, this is, you know, we're not to judge them, and you know, but we need to check our attitude. And sometimes our attitude is my way or the highway. It's my way or the highway. And we see that here in verses 13 through 15. We do not want to grieve nor stumble another brother or sister because of our liberties. And we do have liberties. People take liberty on things, and they have that right. And they are esteeming something before the Lord. Everything is good. Others don't esteem it the same way. And it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. And why would we want to stumble somebody in doubt, in gray areas, specifically gray areas? So you got to be very careful. By the way, when you look at this passage, Paul is siding with the strong, not the weak, not the weaker brother, who thinks because they go by a legalistic tendency, they think they're strong, and they're not. The strong is the person that is really has the liberty, They're the strength, and he sides with the strong. And we see that, we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I just want to mark that down. In verse, we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 and following, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none, no other God but one. For though there be that they are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things. And so he talks about there's only one God, and so, but a person is holding to these convictions. And they're the weaker brother, that's for sure. My attitude towards that brother, the weaker brother, is it should never be my way or the highway. No, it's really going to speak. We need to love people. Need to really love people. I'm talking about in gray areas. Gray areas. And then in verse 16 through 18, notice what he says here, because he says, and check the attitude of, you know, you want to check the attitude, okay? So you have the attitudes, check them. What should we check? Check the attitude of my way or the highway, and check this next one. Who cares? Who cares? How many times have you seen that? And you know, who cares? That guy, oh yeah, pff, who cares? Who cares about this type of thing? We need to check that. Let not then your good, verse 16, be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, which we are justified by, and peace, which we are reconciled to, and joy, we are satisfied. We are satisfied. So that the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that is in these things serveth Christ and is acceptable to God and approved of men. So, okay, all right. If I were to tell you, I have friends of mine that drink. Can't be saved and drink. You know, people will doubt your salvation if you drink. And they have no problems doing it. I mean, I'm talking the hard stuff, Seagram 7 or something like that. They don't get drunk. They just will do that. With some Christians go, no, that's from the pit. Or some people will have drink wine. And they'll think, oh my, this is awful. This is awful. In fact, I was talking about this in Galatians one time. In Galatians, and a guy accused me. A guy comes up to me and accuses me of teaching that it's okay to drink. That it's fine. It's fantastic to drink. And you get that. You'll get this. You will get this. In Europe, according to my friend, they have no problems with this. Italianos, right? Italians have no problems with wine. It's cultural type of situation. We think to ourselves, "Wow, I would never do that." And I wouldn't, if I was hosting people, a lot of people in my house, and I had a conviction that it's okay to drink wine or that, I would never have it in the refrigerator. I would store it somewhere out of the eyesight so I wouldn't cause somebody to stumble. I wouldn't do it. Do it unto the Lord if you are free to do that. That's what it, you know, but don't have the attitude, who cares? I'm going to do it. Get out of here. No way. No way. Check that attitude. And also in verses 19 through 21, check the attitude of, if you don't like it, tough. I don't know if you've ever said that to somebody in this, but if you have the attitude, if you don't like it, tough. And so you got to be careful with that, that's for sure. Lona says, let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace and the things which one may edify another. So my goal to you or for you is to edify. That's my goal, is to be an edifying person to you. That's exactly what I want to be. And that's how we are going to... For food destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor anything by which thy brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Wow. You do not want to stumble with your freedom. Another person. So you have to be very careful. In the open air, we think about this in terms of the lost. You know, we always say, you don't have a second chance to make a good first impression. So, like, I've talked to a guy came up, a super handsome guy and all this stuff. He had a goatee and he said, how do I look, Chris? And I said, when you give me the you look mean. He shaved it. Well, that's true of our own lives. If we know that a brother or sister is weak by something, we're not to flaunt it in front of them and say, hey, tough noogies. That's okay. I'm going to do it. If, you know, you don't like it, tough. And that's the way it is. No, it isn't the way it is. You're to love them and understand they're not operating and they're the weaker brother and we're not to cause them to stumble. I guarantee this. A person that says it's, you know, my way or the highway, who cares? And if it's, you know, tough noogies, that's the way it is. I'm going to do it anyway kind of thing. They're never going to win that weaker brother or sister to their position. They'll never win them to that position. They'll never understand. What they will understand is how hurtful you were to them, especially if you flaunt it in front of them. And this is very, very hard. Okay, in verses 22 through 23, here's an attitude for you. What you don't know can't hurt you. What, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing which he allows. And he that doubteth is condemned if he eats, because he eateth not by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So if a person, I'll eat, I'm a vegan, okay, I'll eat some meat, you know. But if I don't do it in faith, now it's sin for me. I'm causing my weaker brother to sin because it's not now in faith. That is very serious. And then when he talks to us, in really the real issue is that you have, when it comes to others, love them. So we've looked at when it comes to convictions, respect them. When it comes to allowances, make them. When it comes to attitudes, check them. And when it comes to others, love them. We're to love others. And notice what he says. It's love that bears up, verse 1. Love that pleases, verses 2 and 3. Love that remembers, verse 4. And love that receives, verses 5 through 7. We receive, we bear up each other. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities or the weaknesses of the weak. the infirmities. This is not sins. This is the actual infirmities. And not to please ourselves. So it's not my job to please myself when I'm with the brothers and sisters. My job is to please the Lord by being a great testimony and loving you. So if a person is saying, we love you. Okay, so you've got this quirkiness or whatever the situation. I'm going to stop if it's irritating you. I don't want you to stumble. I want to love you and care for you. And that's exactly what I want to do. I want to bury you up. And then it's love that pleases. And let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. The Lord Jesus Christ was selfless, not selfish. Selfless. I do things to please and to minister to you. Why? I love you. You're my brother. And I've got Jesus Christ as the great example of that selfless love. I've got him, and I constantly remember him. And this is what he says to us in Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so this is exactly, and then so love that remembers. Look at verse 4. For whatever things were written in earlier times were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Wow. The Word of God is going to, through patience and comfort of this Word will encourage us and give us hope. And then he goes, notice this, and it's love that receives. Look at 5-7. He says, and now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another to Christ Jesus, that you may be one mind and one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Wow. This is exactly how we are to do it. It's a love that really receives, love that really consoles, and love that really ministers to us. So we look at Christians other Christians in gray areas, we look at this and we say to ourselves, how do we live? What does the gospel do for us? And this is the book of Romans. It unpackages for us the whole issue of the gospel, the doctrinal treatise. And then how are you to live? If we are going to live by the Spirit of God, they who are the sons of God live by the Spirit of God, Romans 8 tells us, right? And so what we do, if I'm going to be a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, in the sense of letting the Spirit of God work in my life and being controlled by the Spirit of God, we will care for one another. We will not think of ourselves. Why? Because he doesn't think of himself. We will care for one another. We will look out for one another. And in those gray areas, we will check our attitudes. We won't be saying, my way or the highway. We won't be doing that because the Spirit of God will not lead us in doing that. The Spirit of God is going to lead us in caring one for another. Ouch, huh? Ouch. I look at this and I have to examine my own life with this in light of this book and have to say, okay, what is it? What am I doing? What's happening in my life? Father, we thank you so much for your great love with which you have loved us and how you have cared for us. And we ask you to help us to live this chapter and 1-7 of chapter 15. Help us to live this and to help us to care one for another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.